Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
You heard SportsCenter's John Anderson there talk about that other Cam Akers that the country got introduced to last night, the rookie second-round pick, .171 on the ground, best rookie rushing performance in one game for any first-year player this year. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance, and we're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. But let's start by talking about the guy that was handing that football off to Cam Akers. That would be Jared Goff. He had one blemish last night, fellas, but besides that, he thought he played pretty well.
Overall, I think outside of the interception, which, if I get the ball outside, was it a pick? Was it not? I don't know. But if I get the ball outside, throw it accurately, it doesn't matter. And that was the one I wish I had back tonight. But other than that, thought I did a good job handling the game.
Jared, I'll tell you, it was a pick.
We can confirm that it was an interception.
Exactly. And much like I said earlier, that was really the only play that's it. And it was a great play by Miles Bryant to go get that interception. But like I said, put the ball in front, not behind. We won't even be having this conversation. Jared Goff is playing pretty good football, man. And I know he's 11 interceptions on the year. Discount the one last night. Great play by the defender. Typically that ball is either caught or hits the turf. And so I take that one away. He gets 10. Out of those 10 interceptions, there's been – games where he's thrown multiple interceptions in, a handful, two or three. And so when you start to look at that, you get rid of that Miami game and you get rid of that 49er game, and he's having a pretty good season. I mean, and then you talk about over the body of work over his career, get rid of the Jeff Fisher year. That's a throwaway, right? That wasn't – he came in six games ago.
Todd Gurley called it a high school offense. Jeff Fisher was running.
Like, get rid of that. But since he's had Sean McVay, the guy's been lights out. He's gone to the Pro Bowls, gone to the Super Bowl, led his team to the Super Bowl, led him to New Orleans. They beat the Saints. He goes on. He loses to Bill Belichick, but a lot of teams have lost to Bill Belichick. There's not anything to be mad about in terms of that. And he's just having a pretty good football year, a football season. I see where he can lead this team to a Super Bowl as the starting quarterback and make enough plays throughout the course of the season to get them there. This offense has a lot of different designs, the things that they do. Sean's really good at motioning guys or hiding certain things in formations to make you think it's one thing when it's another. So I like the direction that Jared Goff is headed in. The one thing that I would say after I said all that is just don't turn the ball over, man. That's all you got to do. Don't fumble it and don't give it to the other team in a different color, and you'll be fine.
I mean, the question that everybody had, coming into that game last night was, why do we need to think that Jared Goff needs to be legendary status of a quarterback in order for them to win a championship? He doesn't need to be Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't need to be Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you can go back. Rex Grossman got his team. I mean, their defense got their team to a Super Bowl, but, I mean, serviceable, right? There's a lot of quarterbacks who have been serviceable who have gotten their teams to the Super Bowl.
That is correct, but Jared Goff is above serviceable.
I'm not saying that he's Rex Grossman. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that he doesn't need to be the elite of the elite in order to help this team. Their team is going to win a Super Bowl if they do because of their defense, and he needs to play well in certain points of the game.
He has the ability, though, at times, if they need him to be that guy.
Elevate.
He can elevate. If they need him to be the guy to push it, he could do it.
Joe Flacco, the Ravens, I mean, prime example.
He hit at the right time. Joe Flacco hit at the right time. I played on the Bucs team, and we won the Super Bowl. And so many of you think that it was all the defense.
The media? Who are we? Who are you and you? Who's that?
Meaning like
fans. The media?
Fans. I'm saying fans. Okay. Not just media screedia. But I'm talking about the fans. They think it was all the defense. Oh, my God. It was Simeon Rice and Derek Brooks and Rondae Barber and John Lynch. That's how they won the Super Bowl. Because it was a defensive-built team. That's all we talked about was our defense. So one of the most underrated defenses in Super Bowl winning history. But our defense was lights out. One of the top five defenses in Super Bowl history. It's not even close. There's no question about it. But our offense sputtered along until we got toward the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, we clicked and we was lights out. Once we got into the playoffs, The offense, we just roll. Defense give us the ball back. We go down the field, score a touchdown. Let's keep it moving. And this is what could happen to Jared Goff. This is what could happen to the Rams. If you look at the Kansas City Chiefs last year, their defense was struggling. But as they got toward the end, they got better and better and better. And then when they got in the playoffs, they gave up the yams early on. Then they crushed it in the second half of games. They gave the ball back to Patrick Mahomes. He go down the field, he score. Rest is history.
Let me give you a couple of good stats. I think you'd appreciate this being L.A.-born and bred Key, and I think this name is really going to make you smile this morning. So the Rams win, and they get their ninth win of the season. So they've now clinched a winning season. Worst they can be is 9-7. This is the fourth straight year they've had a winning season. So as soon as McVay has come on board, it's more wins than losses.
You don't even need to go to rest.
Go for
it. The only guy to ever do it is John Robinson.
There you go. The last time
see,
the Rams
see how I did that? Mm-hmm.
The last time the Rams had four straight winning seasons, 83, 84, 85, 86. As I do recall, they had a guy that could tote the rock back in the day. I think his name was Eric Dickerson, if I'm not mistaken. He was something else. And John Robinson, a guy you know really well. And obviously that Rams team in the middle of that four-year stretch did get to an NFC championship game. I think they lost to the Bears that year in the Bears Super Bowl season.
Oh, yeah. They beat the Giants, though.
That's right. Yeah. But
you don't have to point to me.
No, I just remember as a kid,
yeah,
Flipper Anderson going through the tunnel.
Oh, Flipper Anderson, great one. Great wide receiver, Flipper Anderson. So once again, from the 83 to 86, they've done it, and they haven't done it here in the 4 years of the McVay era. On the other side, the other quarterback, we're asking the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed whether the Patriots should stick with Cam and why or why not. 64% of the fellas and the ladies have weighed in. 64% clear.
Nope.
Nope. Including Jay. How about this? Here's your thought on this. AFritz440 at AFritz440 hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Quote, I'm not Vince Lombardi or Bill Belichick, but I do have two eyes. And those eyes tell me that man cannot play the QB position at a high level no more in the NFL. It is almost like the game is too fast for him nowadays.
I feel so bad for Cam.
What's his name?
AFritz at 440.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. And I want to root for Cam, but he's not wrong. I mean, you look at him, it just doesn't seem like it's going to work. 2015 MVP. Just watching this year is, ugh.
Don't be looking at me, Zubin.
Ugh. I don't even know how to properly articulate it, Key. It's bad. It's really bad.
It wasn't good last night, and it didn't look good. But I guess because I'm looking at it differently, I see the issues. I see the issues. The interception, I see that issue.
But it feels like we're starting to make excuses.
There's no excuse. That's not an excuse. It's a fact. The running back was grabbed by Aaron Donald. It's a pick. So the first thing I thought, man, this dude done threw. I can't deal with Cam. The hell you throw that pick? But then when I went back and I looked at it, I'm like, oh, that's how the interception pick six happened. So when you first see it in live action, it goes interception Cam. They never went back and said, diagrammed it up and showed you exactly what happened. So I'm thinking this dude done threw the ball to a blind spot, not paying attention. Yes, it sounds like an excuse, Jay, but the fact is Aaron Donald made the play, not Cam Newton. Aaron Donald held the back. Therefore, the defender was able to step in and get the pick six. Cam down at the goal line, three straight runs, trying dive plays with Cam Newton or just because he's big. That, to me, is a Josh Daniels mistake. Get down there and don't get so spooked. Mm-hmm. Let's try to do it. Or let's put some points on the board. It kicked some field goals. So a lot of that sort of stuff was coaching to me. That's how, and then again, the best skill position player on the field for them is Jacoby Byers. And I like Jacoby, but come on, man, stop. He ain't out there playing with nobody. He's not. He's just not.
So if you had to bet money on it, will Cam be a starter next year?
Would he be a starter for somebody or would be in New England? Which
either
one?
Way, I'm asking for somebody.
I think he will. I think he'll find the landing spot if it's not in New England.
You're betting money on that?
Yeah,
I don't know if I would bet money on that right now.
I would for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, the Pats don't have a big financial investment in Cam
Man,
Newton.
If Nick Foles can get a starting spot in the league, I know Cam can get one.
We'll see what happens.
Well, Nick Foles isn't starting anymore.
probably another short-term deal coming for Cam because he has not proven that he's probably worth, at this point, a long-term deal to be a starter anywhere. He says more than anything, he just wanted to get on the field. Money was secondary. He's gotten on the field. Hasn't been great. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today to find out if we could save you hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. On the way, can't wait for Bart Scott. He'll weigh in on the Cam debate. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Rams look like Super Bowl contenders. This year, Bart Scott is joining us this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. 11-year NFL vet, Jets Ravens. Bart and Han is his radio show. And Bart and Han is getting ready for a really big stage when the calendar turns in 2021 here.
He ain't ready!
On ESPN Radio, January 5th, 12 to 2, with Alan Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. That's next year. Let's talk about the here and now with Bart, who joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils made from natural gas, giving you unbeatable engine protection. The proof's in the Pennzoil, based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Is Cam done?
I don't know if he's done. I think he's done with the Patriots. I don't see how they fix this. They have a lot of issues there. Cam Newton doesn't look like he's comfortable in his offense, and they have to make a specialized offense for him. And I think it limits what Josh McDaniels would like to do with a traditional quarterback. At this point, Cam is just pretty much, you know, running the football, and the rest of the league has caught up to it. I think the greatest example of that was on the goal line where they tried to go with the option. It seemed like the Rams were prepared for it, and they had a game plan for it where the backside linebacker ran immediately to the pitch man, making Cam hold on to it. That's because teams have got this team dialed in about how they're going to be successful. And you can't win meaningful games against good football teams like that. You can beat the Chargers, some of these other teams. But, I mean, come on, your starting quarterback, your MVP caliber quarterback, throwing the ball 9 times, 9 of 16 for 119, that's not good enough to win in any league.
Bart, what do you anticipate seeing from Daniel Jones, speaking of quarterbacks, this weekend? He has some time off, but he'll be back underneath the center. What do you anticipate seeing?
Well, I think he's going to be compromised, and it's going to be more about Daniel Jones and does he really have that eternal clock? Not burping the baby too much inside of the pocket, getting rid of the ball. It's going to be important that Jason Garrett gets him a game plan where he doesn't utilize his athleticism, because you understand, Key, it's the cold months now, and you go from sitting on the bench, and I know the bench can be heated, but it doesn't keep those hammies right. So that hamstring helper has bit, you know, jumped up and bit him. I think that's a huge part of his game. I think his game is almost like, to me, like Josh Allen's, but I think he's a more polished and more accomplished thrower of the ball. And I think that's a huge part of his game, and I think that's a huge asset that's going to be missed. Now, if they continue to get the production from Wayne, from Gallman, that he got last week, I think it'd be fine. But they're going to have to be able to really win from inside the pocket, and that defense is going to have to stop Kyler Murray, who I think presents a different problem than that of Russell Wilson. So let's see if they have to make a shootout, if Daniel Jones is going to be able to physically be able to carry the load.
It's some pretty intriguing quarterback matchups this weekend. whether it's the Cousins and Brady, or whether it's Big Ben Roethlisberger and Josh Allen and Carr and Rivers, which one are you looking forward to seeing most?
Well, for me, I think the game that is the most important is the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens. And just simply because we're trying to ask ourselves, we continue to try and convince ourselves for the last 3 years that Cleveland has arrived, right? But when whenever we believe that Cleveland has arrived, they get beat up by Big Brother within the division, whether it's the Ravens and how they destroyed Cleveland the first matchup, the first game of the season, or whether it's the Steelers that kind of, you know, gave them the atomic wedgie and put them in their place. So if they want to be taken seriously, they got to be able to show that they can beat the guys that have bullied them within their division. Last week, beating the Tennessee Titans was impressive because I think they out-physical one of the most physical teams in the game and controlled and contained Derrick Henry, holding him 60 yards. But Baker Mayfield, I want to know if this is fool's gold. If what we saw last week, how efficient he was going 20 to 25, and, you know, it was more about him throwing the ball. Is it real or is it fool's gold? And we're going to find out. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens are getting healthy. Even if they lose to Cleveland, they're going to probably be 10-6 with how weak the rest of their schedule is.
Hold on, Bart. I'm going to push you now to become that habitual line stepper that you always tell me you are. Is it fool's gold? Is it fool's gold or is it not?
I believe it is. I think the recipe for success is continuing to turn around and hand the ball off to Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. I think that was an admiration last week. And I think as soon as you start to buy into Baker Mayfield, he proves that you can't. He's a very streaky player. And if that run game, and he tried to do it twice against his Baltimore Ravens defense with those tremendous defensive backs, yeah, I think it'd be a mistake. I think the better part is you look at what Ezekiel Elliott was able to do last week, running the ball for over 4.4 yards a carry. I think you try and take that playbook, not believing in Baker Mayfield putting the ball up against Humphreys, Peters, Smith. You know, they have some elite secondary in Baltimore. I think they want to play with that one. I think we'll go back to saying that Baker Mayfield has more commercials than wins. If he wants to have more wins than commercials, he needs to turn around and hand the ball off. Or he'll have a lot of time to go, you know, go film some more commercials if you try and throw the ball at him too much.
Bart, you don't play for the Ravens anymore, man.
Listen, Key, and you're not part owner in the Lakers and the Dodgers.
Get him, Bart. Get him, Bart. Okay, Bart. What team
and
could
I'm
be
seeing on the screen too? You missed about 8 shots with the paper, man. You need to get your average up. Jay Will, teach him how to keep that elbow aligned with the basket.
He be shooting it consistently. He's been making a lot lately, though. He's been on fire now. I'll give him that. All right, Bart. What team could be on the outside looking in for the playoffs? The Colts, the Vikings, the Ravens, or the Bucks?
For me, it's the Vikings. I don't know how real they are. Once again, we love Dalvin Cook, but I'm not a believer in Kirk Cousins. So, I mean, we're going to see. It's weird because it feels like they had punted on the season when they traded Yannick Ngakoue after they, spent money and gave draft equity to go get him. You know, now it seems like they're in the running. Nobody's paid attention to him. I think they have an outstanding receiver in a Jefferson kid, and I think he's going to be exciting to watch. He may end up being one of the best from this draft, but I just don't know if I can believe in this team, if this team is for real. Now, I was going to say a lot about, you know, their chances if they're able to beat Tampa, but, you know, they still have Tampa and New Orleans. You know, we expect them to beat the Bears and the Lions, but they're going to have to win one that we don't expect them to win. And it's going to be tough sledding against Tampa if Tampa is on and playing well. If Bruce Arians and Tom Brady can come to some type of conclusion about how they want to go about playing and winning football games.
It's a great point. The Vikings started 1-5. They're now 6-6 with a gigantic game against the Bucks, who they can essentially get closer to or perhaps even leapfrog if things sort of work out this weekend with the other games on Sunday. And then, of course, Bart, as a Ravens legend, will be looking forward to watching Monday Night Football on ESPN between Baltimore and Cleveland. I know you got your own show later today, too, so we'll let you go. Thank you, Bart.
I appreciate it.
Bart.
Hi, Bart.
All right. You don't play for the Ravens anymore.
But he did play for the Ravens.
I'll be messing. Man, that's my dude, man. Come on now. You know that's how we roll.
So he brought up an interesting point. They have 4 games left. Do the Vikings. 2 of those 4 are Tampa Bay on the road.
Yes.
New Orleans on the road. I want to mention the New Orleans game is in week 16, so you have to kind of think about if it doesn't go just quite down to the stretch and maybe that the Saints have clinched the number one spot. You never know how that game could be played, but it's tight at the moment. The other two games, Bears-Lions. Two challenging ones, two gimmies, or is there no such thing as a gimme?
There's no such thing as a gimme, but I would think in when you start to get on the back end of things, you know, the Lions, they're getting ready for Christmas and New Year's, and the Bears are doing the same thing. So you kind of hope that they approach it with that mindset. It'll be interesting. The New Orleans game is interesting because if New Orleans has not clinched home field advantage throughout, then they have to play. Plus, they want to play anyway because of what has happened in the past against the Minnesota Vikings. You can't take them lightly if you're New Orleans because you've played against them in the postseason, and we all kind of know how those games have gone.
Two straight losses.
You also want Drew Brees coming back around that time. You want him to find his rhythm getting ready for the playoffs as well.
Yeah, you also want to do that, as Jay said.
Could possibly see Brees as early as this weekend. We're going to talk a little bit more about Jalen Hurts in a second. But if Brees is able to go in any sort of capacity – would you be more intrigued to see him return knowing what you got from him, or do you need to see a little bit more here from Taysom Hill with the caveat that the last 2 years, the Saints are actually 8-0 without Drew Brees, 5 from Bridgewater, 3 from Taysom.
I'm cool with Taysom Hill. I'm good with Taysom Hill.
He's shown enough.
Yeah, so if he can play this weekend, I'm not playing him anyway. If Drew Brees can play, not playing. I mean, go over there and sit down, put on a headset.
Is that because of the opposition?
No,
or
it's because it's a little bit of both. It's the opposition. I think we have enough to be competitive and beat them. Okay, they're starting a rookie quarterback that hasn't started a game in the league,
right.
And I think he's only thrown 20 passes.
Right.
I don't worry about that. I'm more worried about those barbecue ribs that is inside Drew Brees' body. I need to keep him healthy or get him healthy as possible. So when we get to week 15 in 16 and I need to play him moving into the playoffs so I can have home field advantage so I can get that bye week so his ribs can rest again, that's what I want to be able to do.
So with that being said, you probably let him relax against the Eagles and the Chiefs and have him bring him back versus the Vikings and then the Panthers, right?
Don't know that I'm going to have him relax against the Chiefs.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Don't know about
– depending upon where he is in the process.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not going out there with Taysom Hill against the Chiefs if I can go out there with Drew Brees.
More conversation on that young kid who's thrown just 20 passes. But first, it's SportsCenter.
From the Rams 12-yard line. Play action, screen right. It's intercepted. Kenny Young down the left side. He hits midfield. Needs a block. Young to the inside. Now back to the outside. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, LA! On the first play of the second quarter, Kenny Young takes it to the house.
That was on ESPN LA 710. It's actually the third straight game where the Rams have had a defensive score, which is notable. Because everybody always talks about their offense, which was pretty good. Potent, led by running back Cam Akers, the other Cam, in this game, 171 yards on the ground. It's the best rookie rushing performance from anybody in the NFL as a first-year player this year. Aaron Donald was a beast, 1.5 sacks. He leads the NFL in sacks. And his key mentioned a couple times this morning that pick six was squarely not on Cam, but instead on the pressure put forth by Donald. The NBA putting a little pressure on Kyrie Irving, but Jay seems to think it's chump change. Just take this one out of the glove compartment. Kyrie and the Nets have fined $25,000 each. Kyrie has refused to speak with the media. He sort of put out a statement saying, I'm not going to do it all season long. And the league said, all right, that's fine. We'll just fine you $25,000.
Josiah owns Alibaba.
Yes.
You think he's worried about $25,000?
No. Alibaba is the Chinese Amazon. So once again, he'll take that out of his front breast pocket and say, there you go, there's your $25,000.
Yeah, but still, though, man, you don't want to just be giving $25,000 away. You know that, Jay.
I'll tell you this right now, Kyrie, this will be the first time or many more times he will be doing so.
I will tell you, Brooklyn is one of the lowest television ratings in the league. That might change this year, but you got two studs, man. I want him to speak and promote my franchise. Duke canceling their non-conference slate. Wasn't that extensive. Gardner Webb is the only one left. They won't make up games with Charleston Southern and Elon, Alabama head coach Nate Oates laying the wood to Coach K, essentially saying, hey, if you hadn't lost those games against Michigan State and Illinois, Coach K wouldn't be sounding off about perhaps stopping the season.
The hell y'all doing out there, Jay Will?
You can't speak
losing.
To everybody. It's been a rough one out of the gate for the Blue Devils for sure, and SportsCenter is brought to you by SportClips. Remember being at Sport Clips waiting for that great MVP haircut experience? How about making that wait time even shorter? Now with OnDeck text alerts, get a 15-minute heads up when it's time to head in and another text alert when you're next in line. Sport Clips, it's good to be a guy.
Obviously, my role has changed this week, but the preparation and the hard work has not.
What do the next 4 weeks mean now for the quarterback position here in Philly?
Right now, they really just need to win a game.
What do you think of Carson Wentz's future in the NFL moving forward?
Oh, his future is bright.
That's noted Eagles fan Kevin Negandhi, SportsCenter anchor, talking with Marcus Spears last night. The big question everybody obviously wants to know is, what's Jalen Hurts going to look like on Sunday? I think the second biggest question people want to know, as we welcome you back to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance, is what kind of relationship does Hurts have with Carson Wentz? He was asked that yesterday.
How about with Carson, though? I mean, how is that dynamic working?
I mean, we're working together, communicating on things. You know, he has five times as much experience than I have, so he's always a helping hand when a question comes up.
What do you think about that? A little more than five times, I would say, though.
Well, look, man, this is not a this is not a Jalen Hurts issue. This was a Carson Wentz issue. So for Carson Wentz not to be there for a young quarterback, that would be wrong. He's going to be there for him and help him out for whatever it is. You know, he's not going to just turn his back on him and act. No, he's not going to pout and do those things. Carson's issues will be with the coaching staff in the organization. It won't be with his teammate. What the hell has Jalen Hurts done to him? Right? I mean, think about it.
Why do we get into these things? Like, this is where I really feel like the media just, as an ex-player, the media just really digs to try to find something to, because they already have a narrative in their mind that they want to write about, right? So my only thing is, we're grown men. We're grown men, Key. I don't need you to put your arm around me and tell me it's going to be okay. You might have to give me some advice here or there if you choose to, but if not, I'm going to have to figure it out. Like, well, I don't think Jalen Hurts is going into this scenario saying, oh, I really wish Carson Wentz will help me out, and I'm really worried about our relationship, so our relationship is going to, you know, if it's not good, it's going to hinder the way I perform on the field. No, you're one of the worst in the league at third down conversion rates, right? Keep plays alive offensively and keep your offense on the field. That's what Jalen Hurts needs to do.
Well, sometimes it's always good, though, to get the perspective of somebody who's actually been in the chair and been in that position, because now that they're removed from it, they see it a lot clearer. You know what I'm saying? Like Carson Wentz is so amazing right now. Carson Wentz sees it different than he sees it when he's underneath the center, because he's the backup now. So he's looking at it like different. So for Jalen Hurts to go to him and say, you know, if this happens here and that happens here, what would you do? Now Carson could say, oh, I would do this, because the bullets aren't flying right now. So he doesn't have to worry about ducking and dodging. But when the bullets go to flying, you got to duck and dodge. Your mindset is so much way different. That's why veteran quarterbacks are good for young guys, because they see it different. And I learned this from Frank Reich when I was a rookie. Frank Reich was the backup, believe it or not. He was my quarterback. I was young, though. Frank was on his way out. But he could come and teach me. He taught me so much and got me up to speed, because I was late to training camp. Of course, huh, right?
You held out.
I held out.
You were late to training camp.
Yeah, really, right? And so I could sit in a room with Frank, and he could see it totally different than the information I was getting from Neil O'Donnell. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing to be a part of that.
You said he was on his way out, though, right? From a time.
No, but I'm saying because he wasn't the starter, he was the backup. He would just see it differently than when you out there, Jay. Those things are moving fast.
Oh no,
man.
I get it.
It's all over the place. And now when you remove yourself from it, you go, oh, okay. It's even now. I hadn't played in 100 years, but when I see something, I'm like, oh, I would have did this or that. If you put me out there, I may not do those things.
I just don't go into this thinking that Carson Wentz is going to have a red and rosy relationship with Jalen Hurts, considering the way Carson Wentz has essentially been forced out.
But it's not a Jalen issue, though.
I know it's not. I know it's not a Jalen issue.
No, I'm saying, okay, here's what I'm saying, Jay. It's not a Jalen Hurts issue for Carson Wentz to have a problem with him. They're going to have a cool relationship. It's the issue is with the organization and
I agree.
The coaches.
I agree.
Carson Wentz is going to go ham on anybody. It should be the coaches in the front office has nothing to do with Jalen Hurts. Put your arms around Jalen Hurts and help him get through
the game. That's the right thing. That's the right thing to do. Yeah. It's the right thing to do. Not everybody always does the right thing, especially when you're emotional about losing your job.
You lost your job to Jalen Hurts, man. They did you wrong.
Just saying. You know how people get in people's ears?
That's what the homies is going to
do. You know when you go home, you know, and it makes you look at people a little bit differently. I'm not saying you do it maliciously.
That guy isn't even good. He didn't win anything at Oklahoma. You know, you get that whole. And if you allow that to seep into your brain, you ain't worth nothing either.
Couple quick things. One, there has been a little bit of discussion exactly what Wentz's temperament has been. There have been some things written, but in large part, many people have come out and said he embodies the term, and they have this here in the upper Midwest, he embodies the term North Dakota nice. That's what they say up there. There have been things that have been said and written about Wentz, maybe not being the greatest teammate of all time, but in large part, publicly at least, he obviously has been very supportive and seems like a good dude. So let's ask it from this perspective. Yes, we all get humbled, right? It's just a matter of when.
Yes,
it happens. Okay, so it's just one game. Hurts came in, obviously, during the Green Bay game. Didn't get all the first team reps. Got more reps. This is his week. I know it's just one game. This is his week. It's his time. It's his opposition. What a reasonable, just one game out of the gate against a quality opponent with an excellent defense.
What's reasonable for him? Yeah. His performance?
Yeah, just it's your first spot, but it's a big spot.
Well, I don't anticipate him looking like Carson Wentz looked the last time we saw Carson Wentz. I don't expect that. I expect for them to help him in terms of play selection, giving him things that he does well, not the things that Carson did well, but the things that Jalen Hurts does well, because they're going to have to run some of the things that Carson did do. But also taken into consideration, this is a different quarterback with a different style. And I think they know that. So you'll probably see a lot of things on the move, a lot of RPOs. You're gonna see a lot of empty packages where he's in the gun and he's getting the football. He's rocket stepping, throwing, letting it go out quick because of his anticipation. He is not a fast, twitchy guy like a Kyler Murray.
Okay.
But he is a hell of an athlete,
yeah, he is,
and a hell of a football player. And so sometimes in college he had a slow delivery. He liked to see the receiver open before he threw the football, but that's also because I have a strong arm. Quarterbacks taught me, Vinny Testaverde taught me this as well, because his arm was so strong that a lot of the times I would come out of my break, but I could see him throw the football because he knew I'm going to get it there before the defensive back. A lot of guys do that, and it could get them in trouble opposed to timing. In the timing, no one typically would say, oh, his timing is off. He's supposed to throw that ball before he comes out of the break. That is true. But when you have a strong arm, you get bad habits at times. And I think at Oklahoma and even at Alabama, he knew he could zip it through because he had a strong arm, so the anticipation wasn't quite there. Hopefully they fixed that with the Eagles, because this is the National Football League. Things happen a little bit faster. So I think he'll have a decent game. I don't know that he'll win the game. I don't know that he'll throw for 300 yards, but I think it'll be a game where you say, okay, he deserves to start next week.
I mean, I don't come in with any expectations. I honestly don't know. But just imagine if Jalen Hurts did win this game. Imagine if they beat the Saints, a team that hasn't lost since week 3 after a change. Can you imagine the type of hype that we will have coming into next Monday?
No doubt.
Off the charts.
And it would obviously be, the question would be asked.
Thanks for everybody.
Tony, Luke's, Pat's, Geno's, whatever you want. They would just ask him essentially, why didn't you make the change earlier? That'll obviously be the first question to Doug Peterson. Last thing I would say.
Didn't think Jalen was ready. We felt like Carson was giving us the best chance to win.
You've been to a lot of press conferences, haven't you? I've heard a lot of, I've tossed to a lot of those press conferences.
You say a lot without saying anything.
Last thing I would say, you said the slow delivery. The one thing I really do like about Jalen Hurts, just as a fan when I watch him and I listen to him speak, realizing you don't hear college players talk all that much, is he's a very slow heartbeat. Like, it just doesn't feel like everything or anything is too big for him. You played at Alabama and OU.
Yeah.
You had adversity. You lost your starting job, which you didn't really lose on merit. The other guy was just on fire and came through in the biggest spot that he could possibly face, but I like the fact that he handled all of that so well. I think it speaks to him.
He took the starting job from Barrett against USC, mm-hmm. who they started. He came in, took the starting job, and then he lost it, but he didn't really lose it.
Right. Blake Barnett started.
Barnett.
Came in, made it happen. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small businesses with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. It's a Friday tradition. Four downs. I think it's the biggest game of the week. What do the fellas think? We'll break down Pittsburgh and Buffalo and three or maybe four other games next on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Jay wants to go. Let's go. The sun coming up here in Lower Manhattan. It's a beautiful Friday. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Four Downs brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to Geico.com today.
First Down, Steelers and Bills.
This is a very interesting game, fellas. When you think about it, this has an opportunity to be a great one. But the Steelers are sitting at 11-1, Bills at 9-3. The Steelers can clinch an AFC North win and a Browns loss in Week 14. If they do that, then, hey, it looks like that they'll possibly be headed into the playoffs with a bye.
Chance for Josh Rosen to make a statement. It's also a chance for the Bills' defense to come up big, especially against a Steelers offense that is one-dimensional. They have to throw the ball in order to win. Wow, FBI, chance to win the game. Steelers, 57%.
That is correct. I disagree with that. I'm taking the Bills in this game.
I'm taking the Bills, too.
Second down, Colts at Raiders.
Here's an interesting game right here. Two teams that have been Jekyll and Hyde all year long, an 8-4 Colts at the 7-5 Raiders. The Raiders are coming off playing subpar football. You think about the way that they've been doing things, pushing the ball down the field, big chunks at times. The defense has settled in Indianapolis, and so has the quarterback in Phillip Rivers. Is not turning the football over nearly as much as we thought. I'm taking the Raiders in this football game. With that being said, the Raiders beat the Colts last year and kind of turned the season around before they fell apart.
I take the Colts in this one. I don't know who Derek Carr is. I don't know who he is after coming out the Falcons game. And I know the way he finished the game against the Jets. But I think that Colts defense finds a way to step up and they get this one done on the road.
Third down, Cardinals at Giants.
This one's easy for me. I don't like dome teams traveling on the road and playing in hostile environments, although there'll be no fans in Giants Stadium, but there may be showers, rains, and a little bit of cold. When you look at this football game, you have a 6-6 Cardinal team who's trying to keep their playoff hopes alive against a 5-7 New York Giants team. Jay Will, entering in this game and in this week, 40% chance for the Cardinals to make the playoffs, according to FPI. I don't believe so. I think the Giants win this football game. They get Daniels back at the quarterback spot. Kyler Murray has a lot to prove on the road.
I'm worried about this game. FPI chance to win the game has the Cardinals at 60%. I saw what the Giants did last week on the road against Seattle, you know, forcing Russell Wilson to make a lot of poor decisions. You know, I know everybody's worrying about Kyler Murray's arm. How will he be? He's only ran the ball 5 times the last 2 games. But if they allow him to get out of the pocket and start scattering, I think it's going to be trouble for the Giants.
Fourth down, Chiefs and Dolphins.
You would think that this would be an easy pick. Everybody would say it's the Kansas City Chiefs at 11-1 against the Dolphins at 8-4. You are traveling to a great place in Miami. Miami's not the same. If this was the Miami Dolphins in the city a year ago, I would be afraid for the Kansas City Chiefs, but there is no nightlife going on for football teams right now. Patrick Mahomes has thrown 31 touchdowns to 2 interceptions this season. He is clearly the MVP, and clearly the Kansas City Chiefs are going to pound the Dolphins.
I got the same thing, Key, FPI, 76% chance to win. No way. I think Patrick Mahomes comes in and do the job they're supposed to do to keep moving forward, to clinch the AFC.
Bonus down, Saints and Eagles.
This is a game that people have been talking about all week long, and it's not necessarily because of the game. It's because of the quarterback position at the Philadelphia Eagles. The Saints take a 10-2 record into a 3-8-1 Philadelphia hostile environment with no fans. I love saying that. The Saints are 8-0 without Drew Brees in the last two seasons. And this is easy for me. Jalen Hurts is going up against a lights-out defense for the first time, a young quarterback. I think he's going to play well, but I think they're going to get the best of him. And how could I not take the New Orleans Saints? My nephew plays on the damn team. I'm taking the Saints.
Don't know what the spread is here in this game. Let me find out here.
Plus 6.5.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever that means.
You know what? Look, I think it's easy to take the Saints. I still think the Saints are going to win, but I actually will take Philly in the spread.
6.5 is the number. Philly a 6.5-point dog.
So that means they got to win by 7.
Well, if the Eagles win, you win because they're the underdog.
Oh, so the Eagles win.
So the Saints got to win by a touchdown.
I bet stuff.
Saints have to win by a touchdown. Saints have to win by a touchdown.
That's there what I'm saying, by 7.
Yeah. There it is.
Right? Yeah.
The correct.
Win. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Philly wins
right
in any capacity?
I feel like that's one.
You don't think they can beat them by 7?
I do, but I feel like it's one of those setup games because it's easy to go into that game saying, Jalen Hurts, first time he's going to get a start position. You know, the Saints, one of the best defenses there is in the league. What's going on? What Drew Brees, Taysom Hill, they're 8-0. I just feel like it's a setup game.
So if I take the Saints and I take the 6.5, what do I win?
27-20. They win 27-20. Whatever money you put down, that's a winning bet. Oh, if they win 7-0, 7 or more.
But how much money?
Well, it depends how much money you put down initially, and that'll tell you how much money you win at the back end.
Okay.
Right?
So I would have to give it to Jay and let Jay go to the booth.
Jay and Joe Fortenbaugh, gambling expert, will talk at 9:10 a.m. Eastern.
Is that what you got to do?
We can do it over your phone.
Yes.
You know.
So if you care about other numbers other than the final
risky
score, so like a lot of people do.
That's risky. I don't like stuff like
it's not
that.
Not voting.
No, because if I say I want to bet 1,000, then somebody might you mess up and put 100,000 in you.
Oh, you just make a call to your guy.
Everybody's got a guy.
Oh, don't we all?
I wish I had that problem. I thought it was 1,000, but I put down 100K. You gotta retract this. You gotta retract this.
I'm sure that's happened before, right?
Yes. No, I mean, look, I'll give you a quick famous story. You guys have talked about gambling. I'll have some fun here at the end. Phil Mickelson is actually a very big gambler, the golfer Phil Mickelson. He's a big gambler. When the Ravens won the Super Bowl in 2012, Jay, you mentioned it with Joe Flacco. At the beginning of the season, this is not a joke, mm-hmm, Phil Mickelson put down $250,000. For the Ravens to win the Super Bowl. Now, I don't know the payout off the top of my head, but can you imagine, like, that's like Floyd Mayweather money when you roll up with the suitcase and just, like, the bills are in there. It's like, I'm good for it, you know? Phil Mickelson, $250,000 on the Ravens to win the Super Bowl, which they did.
Oh.
Now, what's the most...
What were the odds?
I don't have it back then. I was just thinking about this particular story. Oh, what's the biggest you'd ever throw down on something they were super confident in? We don't have to deal like Ravens. Or you're super confident in SC this weekend or whatever it would be. What's the max somebody like you that's done so well in your post-football life would throw down?
What's the payout, though? See, that's the, you know me. I'm always about to retire, man. I'm not just giving mine away.
You want the ROI. You want the return
You know, if you tell me I can give you $10,000 and I can get $100,000 back or something like that, then I'll take that bet, right? But if you're telling me I'm giving you $10,000 and you're giving me $5,000 back, I'm not. No,
not enough.
Not enough.
You'll never go six figures in the bet.
No, man, I ain't doing that. That's just, no.
I can neither confirm nor deny that accusation.
That's a bad deal.
Is it?
Because it might go left on you.
I kind of messed around with Chris Long a couple years ago with a half-court shot for $100,000.
What happened?
He still owes me. Oh, I made it. It's on the internet. I said bet $100,000. He said,
Did he have to shoot
it? Missed it, and I made it. It's on the internet.
Well, how about that? We got to call him out. We had him on the other day.
I almost did, but we weren't talking
about
betting.
Too nice to not bring that up.
We weren't talking about betting at that time.
I've when I was playing, I bet some teammates some stuff, but I never collected on them. I'll tell you the story during the break. But I just, I don't know, man. That's too risky, no, man. Somebody money. Kick a field goal.
I want my money, Chris. You look I want up, my 100K.
You look up and you bet that they can win by three or something. Something weird happened. Like the Arizona Bills game. I'm sure the people that were celebrating for the Bills, they thought they had it. And then all of a sudden he throws that. It's a wrap.
We're back with more on Sunday Night Football next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.